So it's every so often. Well, there's a census going on right now, which I haven't answered yet, but I don't know. I'm probably going to jail or something for it. So this census that David's trying to take here, he's trying to take a census of how many fighting soldiers he has, okay? Because women and children, the offering that that is required of the Lord to take a census like this, okay? So the devil provoked David to the king to sin against Israel by numbering the people when he shouldn't. So why was this a sin? So before I get into the message, I just want to kind of give you the background of this story and what's going on. Turn to Exodus chapter 30, verse 12. Exodus chapter 30, verse 12. And I am choosing, I'm preaching this sermon, the choosing the lesser evil, because today we're told that in voting, Christians should choose the lesser of two evils, right? We should choose the lesser of two evils. So whichever one is the least evil, that's the one that we should vote for. And Christians today are banging the drum of, hey, we need to vote these people in. We need to vote Republican, because if we don't vote now, then we know what's going to happen. It's going to be the end of the world because we don't vote for Donald Trump, right? And, you know, Satan has churches hoodwinked into this mentality. And people just sit there, you know, and it's because of Fox News and because of the right paradigm that you're looking at. And I agree, the Democrats are super wicked. They're ultra wicked. But I'll tell you what, the Republicans are wicked also. It's like we have an illusion of choice. Choose this one or choose that one. And it doesn't matter which one gets in, evil's still going to get done. Just like, you know, I mean, Republicans will just barter with the Democrats over bills, and they sneak all this stuff into it. It's not always about that bill that they want to pass. It's all the junk that they want to get in with it. And it shouldn't be like that. And if you haven't been listening to Pastor Mendez's series on politics, you really should. He really breaks down a lot of things that are very important. But I felt like this topic is very important. I mean, we have the election coming up this week, and I just see even people in our own groups, you know, our own churches like this church, I see people just dissenting towards politics anyway, even though they know that there's a left-right paradigm, even though they know that, you know, Donald Trump is wicked, okay? I'm just going to say, Donald Trump is wicked.
Amen.
Joe Biden is wicked also.
Amen.
And, you know, so what do we have? We have the choice between two evils. Which one are you going to choose? I'll tell you who I'm going to choose. Neither one of them. Okay? I'm not going to choose either one of them. You know, it's God's job to set up kings. Okay? As Christians, we're not supposed to be of this world. So why are you getting involved in the politics of it? You know, it doesn't make sense to me. So look at Exodus chapter 30. I've kind of gotten ahead of myself a little bit, but, you know, we've been bamboozled, we've been hoodwinked, and we've been blinded for too long as Christians in this country, and we've allowed politics to seep into our minds and to control, you know, do you want an earthly kingdom or do you want a heavenly kingdom? You know, what kingdom are you serving? Are you serving both? No man can have two masters, right? You're going to hate the one and love the other. It seems like during politics time, the Christians hate the things of God and they love the Republican Party. It's really weird.
Right.
So Exodus chapter 30, why was this a sin that David wanted to number the people? Well, it's not a sin to number the people. It's a sin to number them without having them pay the half shekel that they were supposed to pay. Look at verse 12 in Exodus 30. It says, "When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after the number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them." See, it wasn't that David numbered the people. It was that he numbered them without taking this sum. Or, I mean, without paying the ransom for their souls. Look at it. It says, "When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them." So if you were paying attention to the Bible reading, what did God do when David did the wrong thing? He plagued the people, didn't he? Because why? Because they didn't pay what they were supposed to pay. He didn't even ask them to. It says that David, he went to Joab and the rulers of Israel, he wanted them to go count the people that I may know it. It wasn't because the good of the country, or we need to know how many people we have ready to go to battle against these enemies. He wanted to know it for himself. And, you know, even the best leaders can do mistakes. Okay, David was a great leader, but here he actually does sin. And first of all, he doesn't obey what the Bible says to do when it comes to numbering the people. And I think it was a thing of pride for him. I think it was something that he wanted to know just how great of a ruler he really was. And God blessed Israel mightily, didn't he? Look what it says in verse 13. It says, "This they shall give everyone that passeth among them that are numbered half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary." A shekel is 20 gerahs. "And half a shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less." See, doesn't that fly in the face of how taxes are done in our country? You know, everybody paid the same, according to the Lord here. So now, tithes are different than an offering, but let me just tell you this. This is not, you know, a free will offering. This is an offering that you were supposed to give when the people were numbered. It was a commandment. And it says, "The poor shall not give less than half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls." So, you know, this just goes to show you that God is not a respecter of person. Everybody's paying the same amount, and that's the way it should be. But what do you see in politics today? You see, you know, oh, well, we should tax the rich to death and then give it to the poor. And then, you know, there's the trickle-down effect that the Republicans want to do where, you know, the rich have everything and they just let everything trickle down to the poor and you kind of get the remnants of whatever, you know, they allow you to have. Look at verse number 16. It says, "And thou shalt make an atonement for the money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation." So what was this tax, I guess you, it's not a tax, it's an offering that God asked from everybody. Why? "For the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls." And so it was for the upkeep of the house of the Lord. That's how the house of the Lord was repaired. That's what this offering was for. But it said an offering of their souls. Now, if you notice the story, in the end, David does pay the whole ransom for everybody. So as a picture, that's a picture of him interceding for Israel, for Christ. Obviously, David is the one that sinned here, but he did end up paying the whole cost of the threshing floor of Ornan. So, why am I even talking about all this? Well, because David gets some choices here. You know, it's not very often that when we sin, we get to choose what our punishment is, right? And so, all three of the choices that David is given are evil, aren't they? Every single choice. So he gets three choices. Let's read back in our text. It says in verse 4, "Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David. And all they of Israel were 1,000,000. How much is that? 1,000,000. Right? And 100,000 men that drew sword. So of Israel, the whole army had 1,000,000 people in it. The whole army of Israel. We're not talking about women. We're not talking about children. This is the sum of the soldiers, right? And it says, there were 1,000,000, 100,000 men that drew the sword. So of all Israel, not including Judah, there was 100,000 men that drew the sword, okay? And Judah was 430,000 men that drew the sword. So just Judah alone had 470,000 men that drew the sword. So this is the number that David wanted to know. How many soldiers do I got? How many guys do I have to go fight these battles? And it says, "But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them. The king's word was abominable to Joab." So Joab, this is the one time where Joab really makes a lot of sense. I mean, at least one of the times. It's not very often, but Joab, this guy, you know, he's a murderer. You know, he's not a very nice person. But people will say, well, Joab was a reprobate. I don't believe that at all. I just think he was not a very nice person. I think he was a murderer, and he got punished for doing the things that he did. But there was times in Joab's life where he did right, and this is one of them. And he thought the king's word was abominable, because what was he doing? He was telling Joab to go and help him sin, basically. And so Joab was not very happy about it, and he even tried to stop him from doing it, which fell on deaf ears. So he didn't even count Levi or Benjamin. And Benjamin had been decimated anyway, so there wasn't really a lot to count there for soldiers anyway. But the offering... Why did this happen? Well, because the offering wasn't taken with the count.
There was an offering that was supposed to be made. It was a half a shekel per person, and that offering was not made. So it displeased God. Verse 7, and God was displeased with the thing, therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly. So that's the number. That's when you sin, you got to admit it to God, okay? And so David did sin. He admitted it to God. And he says, because I have done this thing, but now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant and have done, I have done, for I have done very foolishly. See, that's the good, that's the thing that, that makes David a man after God's own heart, is the fact that when he does sin, he gets it right, and he apologizes to the Lord for it. He's sorry. It says, the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, choose thee. Here's the first choice. Either 3 years of famine. So that's 3 years where little rain, little food, little water. That's a long time, and that can kill a lot of people, can't it? It says, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes. So that's, you think, well, 3 months, that's not very long. But how many people could be killed during that, and how many innocent people could be killed during that time of 3 months to be destroyed before the foes? And it says, while the sword of thine enemies overtake thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence. So what was the punishment for the sin that they did? Pestilence. It was a plague. It very specifically says in Exodus that it's a plague that breaks out among the people. And so in this plague, says it's a pestilence. And pestilence is generally something that comes from, animals, some kind of, it could be like bird flu or bubonic plague or malaria or Lyme's disease or, just rats and mice and things like that. But it was the sword of the Lord, okay? So the sword of the Lord makes those things happen. This angel appears. And finally, David actually sees everything for what's happening. But anyway, it says 3 years famine, 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while the sword of thine enemy overtake thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout the coast of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. So David's presented with these choices. So just like we're presented with choices today to make the right decision also. And so David, I chose this story because it's a unique story in the Bible where David actually gets to choose his suffering and the suffering of the people, because ultimately everything rises and falls on leadership. So here we are, 2020 America, one of the weirdest years, if not the weirdest year that I can remember in our history. We're about to have who knows what happens when the president gets chosen. Obviously, if Trump gets picked, it's going to be riots and looting and all this other stuff taking place. And so, but then if Biden gets in, then it's going to be a liberal hellhole for 4 years. So, it's just like there's two choices put before us, and we're called upon by all Christians to make the right choice for America and all this other stuff. But whenever did how America goes become our choice as Christians? It never has become our choice as Christians. We're born into this nation. You didn't get to choose in heaven or something where your soul was to be born into the world, did you? We were born here in this country, or you live here in this country, because it's the place where God placed you at. Now, is this world supposed to be our home? No, it's not supposed to be our home. So, and look, people are going to get mad about this sermon. I can just tell you that right now. People are going to get mad because, look, we all have choices of what to do. We have the right choice. Each and every person in this room has a choice of whether they want to vote in the election or not, unless you're not 18 and not registered, okay? But what choice are you going to make? What is the right choice to make? Well, I'll just tell you this, that I don't vote. I don't believe in voting, and I definitely don't believe in voting for the lesser of two evils. Okay, because if you vote for the lesser of two evil, what are you still voting for?
Evil.
So who are you hitching your horse to?
Right. Yep. Yeah.
Who are you yoking up with?
Right.
What is your choice? Are you going to choose? What did David choose?
What did David choose? Well, let's look and see what David chose. David chose in verse 13, it says, "And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies, and let me not fall into the hand of man." So so if you apply this to what we got going on today, what are you going to choose? You got Biden and you got Trump, and you got some other people that don't matter, right? So look, we have the illusion of choice. Do you really think that Satan, if this is Babylon USA, do you think Satan's going to put it in your hands to pick who the next president is? Do you actually believe that? If you actually believe that, then, you know, you might need to check into a drug rehab. Okay? Because you have no clue what's really going on in this world. You think you have a choice. You think you're making a choice. But let me tell you something else. In Washington State, if you vote in Washington State, your vote, if you vote for Trump, your vote doesn't matter. You know, we live under an electoral college. And that means that, you know, basically, whatever the most people vote for in this state is what is going to be counted in the electoral college, all right? So that's how the system works. If you're a blue state, it doesn't matter what you vote for. Unless you're in a swing state, it doesn't mean anything. Your vote means nothing, okay? So you might as well, you know, you're like, oh, I'm going to vote for Trump. What, so you can just be counted as nothing? But then, yet, you still have to defend the fact that you voted for some scumbag to be the president. Don't you? Don't you still have to account for that? Because when people say, who did you vote for? Which, you know, that's supposed to be something that people aren't supposed to ask or whatever. But you know what people always lump our church into? Oh, I bet you vote for Trump, too. I bet you're a Trump supporter, too. They always say that. You know why they always say that? Because the whole... basically, Christian America has been hoodwinked into voting for Trump. And they're saying that Trump is some savior that's come down in such a time as this. You know, good grief. The guy is known for being one of the most lewd people in the world. What, you think just because he decided to run for president, now just wipes all that away? Do you think he actually is going to try to overturn Roe versus Wade? Can somebody give me some water? And if he even tries, look, everything he said, just, you know, he'll say things that make us feel good. And I'll admit to you this, that I think it's funny when he rips on liberals. I think it's hilarious. My flesh would love to vote for Donald Trump today. Because I think it's funny when he just rips liberals to shreds and makes fun of Joe Biden and makes fun of all these liberals. I think it's hilarious. But is it real? Or is it just a reality show like the big... What was his show, you know, the one where he says you're fired? The Apprentice. So he got practice to become running for the president from that show, The Apprentice. You know, the guy is not stupid. I believe he was set up to become president, obviously. And I think that... But God's ultimately... So the devil controls the world, but God ultimately allows the rulers that be to be in the place that they're at. The Bible teaches that very clearly. So we have choices to make. You do have a choice. You have a choice. You can choose for evil, evil, or evil. That's your choice. That's the choice that David had. Because what are we going to fall on? What should we choose to let God just have His way with America? See, I would love to just allow, try to vote for Trump and try to and have him be our, you know, because here's the thing. People go after Trump way more than they go after the churches. Imagine if our protests would have happened and Hillary Clinton was the president at that time. How many people do you think would have been in front of our church building that day? It wouldn't have been 16. Maybe 616 or more. But right now, they are invested in fighting against Donald Trump. So what does my flesh want? My flesh wants Trump to win 4 more years. I want Trump 4 more years so we can just, you know, my flesh wants that. Because we're in a vulnerable position at this church with having no escape routes out the back or any way we can get out of here. We have to walk through these disgusting, vile freaks. And we saw that happen. And it wasn't fun. Imagine that with a multitude more of people, because they're not concentrated. All those other people were they were sleeping off, you know, doing violence in the streets of Portland the night before. They don't care about that cause right now. What they care about is destroying Trump. And you're like, well, Pastor Thompson, that sounds like an easy choice to me. Well, first of all, my vote doesn't count here. Okay. Second of all, I have to defend the fact that I'm voting for evil. Whether I vote for Biden or Trump, I'm still voting for evil. Am I not? So why don't I just fall into the hands of the Lord and let him decide what is going to happen in America? Why don't I let him decide? Because look, this world is not our home. And the things that are happening, I mean, obviously we should be aware of them. And there's certain times when we do have to set the battle standards, and we have to count the people, we have to number the people, and figure out who's on the Lord's side, right? But, you know, if you vote or not, is that going to make a big you made a difference in America getting better? Is that what you did? It doesn't make a difference. All it does is let God know where your heart really is and what you think is really going to make the change in America that needs to happen. What is the change in America that needs to happen? Well, church has got to quit focusing on politics and start focusing on people getting saved instead. That'd be a good way to change this country. Or how about just showing up to church at all? How about showing up to a good church that actually preaches the Bible instead of just having your ears tickled at some fun center?
Amen.
That'd probably be a good way to change America. But you know what's not going to change America? The fact whether you voted for Trump or not. Well, you just let the world go to hell because Trump didn't get into the presidency. That's garbage. Trump isn't going to help you. Trump is not your savior. And you know, the people, when they get together and they want to do stupid things, God always slaps them around for it, doesn't he? Here's another guy that had a choice to do the right thing. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 38, verse 20. Because look, the people get punished for the foolishness that they do. They get punished for the foolishness that they do. Why was David even the king of Israel in the first place? Who chose David? Did God choose David? But ultimately, think back to when Israel asked for a king. Who is supposed to be the king? God is supposed to be our king. When you're a saved person, God is supposed to be your king. And so, but look, before we get to that point, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 38, verse 20. And this is Jeremiah before Zedekiah, who is the king of Israel. And he's trying to tell him that he needs to give up and surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. All right? So that wasn't a very popular decision. And what is Zedekiah ultimately afraid of? People making fun of him. He cares more about people mocking him for the decision that he's going to make than he cares about the welfare of himself, his family, and the whole nation. God would have spared Jerusalem had he chose the right way. But what do we see in the history of the Bible? We see that first temple being destroyed. You know, obviously it was a multitude of things that happened that got them to that point. But Zedekiah had a chance to turn the tide. Zedekiah had a chance to make the right choice, to choose the lesser of the two evils, ultimately, right? The first evil was that he's going to be destroyed. And, you know, and we know what happened to Zedekiah. He made the wrong choice. Look what it says. It says, but Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord which I speak unto thee, so it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. He's like, here's your choice. Give up. Your soul's going to live. Everything's going to be better. Yeah, you're going to be under Babylonian rule or whatever, but the ultimate choice that you're making is to let your soul live. It says, but, here's the choice, but if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord has showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes. And those women shall say, thy friends have set on thee and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire, and they are turned away back. So they shall bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause the city to be burned with fire. So he had two choices. What did he choose? The wrong choice. And then when he tried to escape, What do? They round up all of his wives, they round up all of his children, and then they put them to death in front of his eyes. They killed all of them in front of his eyes, and then they poked his eyes out. So the last thing he gets to see is his own children and his wives being destroyed and killed, and then they poke his eyes out. And then he goes and dies in Babylon. So see what can happen if you make the wrong choice. See, Christians, we have choices that we can make. And look, I'm not trying to tell you how to vote. I'm not trying to tell you what you should do. I'm trying to tell you how you should think. Amen. How should you think? You should think the way God thinks. You should think the way God presents things in the Bible. And ultimately, yeah, I do believe it's wrong to choose and vote for the lesser of two evils. I do think it's a sin. I think it's sin. Now, look, but I'm not going to come to your house and check your voter registration, okay? We're not in a cult. You can do whatever you want. But let me just help you think this morning. Let me help you think how God thinks about things. And so, look, Jeremiah tried to give him an out, didn't he? God tried to give Zedekiah an out, and what happened? He chose the wrong thing, and he got smoked, and his whole family got smoked because of it. So the truth is that Christians today are, you know, concerning themselves with politics and man's rule versus God's rule. Who's the one that's supposed to rule in our hearts and our minds? Is God. Then why are you letting politics rule your hearts and minds? Why are you trusting in man and what man can do for you? You know, Jesus was, you know, he fed the people with bread and fishes, right? And then what did they do? They chased him and hunt and tried to cut him off at the pass because he traveled away from them and because they wanted to make him their king, their earthly king. They tried to vote for Jesus, and Jesus is like, I don't want to have anything to do with you. This is not an earthly kingdom. This is a spiritual kingdom. This is a heavenly kingdom, and that kingdom has not come yet. One day, you know, that stone that rolls out of the mountains and smashes the statue to pieces, that world government that we have in place right now, the 10 toes mingled with iron and clay, that is the last world dominion, and that's going to be destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ. The rock is going to come and smite them and destroy that statue, and he's going to rule with a rod of iron for 1,000 years.
Amen.
And anybody that comes up against him is going to get dashed into pieces like a potter's vessel.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. Okay? That's the king I want to live for. That's the king that's in my heart. That's the king I want ruling over me. And now, are we in the world? Yes, we are. We have to live in this world, and we have to do things in this world. We have to work. We have to do all, you know, there's a lot of things we have to do. But do you have to choose evil? Is that something we have to do? There's a lot of pressure on Christians to vote. There's a lot of pressure. I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, I can't even stand to look at Facebook anymore with all the stupid politics stuff that's going on. And it's mostly my old Fox News Baptist friends that I still are friends with on Facebook, even though they probably wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. But the truth is, Christians are too concerned with politics.
Amen.
And there's people are pressuring you to make a choice between evil and evil. So we do have a choice, though. We don't have to choose evil or evil. We have a third choice, don't we? So choosing a wicked man to rule over you that's not even saved, not even, and people are like, well, we're not voting for Sunday school teachers. We're not voting for a pastor. But no, the rulers are supposed to be good. The rulers are supposed to be people that are moral. The rulers are supposed to be people that read the Bible. If America is founded on Christian principles, why do we never have a president that has Christian principles? Why don't you explain that to me? It's always a fake, made-up lie. Yeah, George Bush is a Christian. Vote for him. He's like, yeah, I think Muslims have the same God. I think they're going to be in heaven with us. George Bush was not a Christian. Barack Obama was a Christian too, right? The guy that votes for late-term abortion and sits... And he's a Chicago politician that was known for frequenting bathhouses because he's a faggot. Yeah, I said it. Barack Obama was a faggot.
Amen.
And guess what? He still is. Anyway, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Speaking of smoking pipes, you know, Hunter Biden is a pipe smoker too. I guess they got pictures of him like with crack pipes in his mouth and all this other stuff. And look, I know we shouldn't go after people's kids, but I mean, you kind of got to have to go after his kid a little bit, because look, what happens in Washington is corruption.
Yeah, right.
You know, these people get put into office that are like senators and representatives, and they make like $200,000 a year for the rest of their life, and get health care, and they have Secret Service protecting them, and all kinds of stuff. All they have to do is just have one term in office if you're a representative. You get Secret Service for the rest of your life. How much do you think that costs? It costs a lot of money. So, and what was the benefit of Hunter Biden getting to be the vice president's son? Well, he becomes a millionaire.
Yep.
You know, he's obviously a crack-smoking fiend, and apparently, I mean, I haven't seen the pictures, and I don't want to see the pictures of the things that they found on his laptop that show that he was a pedophile.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
I haven't seen those, and again, I don't want to see them. And I hope I never see them, even accidentally, because that's wickedness.
Amen.
Apparently, but he has a lot of pictures of him partying, too, and like with no teeth. And apparently he's got new teeth now because, you know, well, daddy's money pays for that or whatever, but he's got a good health care plan. But, yeah, he smoked so much crack that his teeth were falling out. I had to get new teeth. But, look, this country is corrupt. If you vote for Biden, your vote is going to baby killing, you know, just wickedness. He's a puppet. He's senile. I mean, he's got more gaffes than I do. He's got a lot of gaffes in his public speaking. He just says the weirdest stuff. He sniffs little girls' hair. Okay. He sniffs little girls' hair, touches their faces. You get to see how uncomfortable these girls are. And if he's wanting to do that in public in front of other people, what do you think he does behind closed doors?
Yeah.
It's a shame to speak of those things, but I don't even want to know. I just know that he's evil, okay? And everything to do with him is evil. But then you got Donald Trump, on the other hand, who's quoted as saying that he grabs women in their private parts. And he does that because he's famous. This is before, of course, he was the president. But does that sound like a very moral thing? You know, he's really pro-homosexual. He said he would let Caitlyn Jenner or whatever, Bruce Jenner, you know, come and pee at his Trump Tower or something like that. They used the bathroom, basically. That was actually a question asked. Would you let him come and use the bathroom at Trump Tower? But they were saying her. Because it's really a guy. Let's just be honest. His name is Bruce, right? They still call me Bruce. Look, if you vote for these people, you're voting for evil.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
End of story. And I, you know, you're like, oh, I'm not voting for the pastor. I'm not voting for a president. Well, maybe, or I'm not voting for a Sunday school teacher. I bet you a Sunday school teacher would be doing a better job than these guys would be.
Yeah, right.
At least there might be some honesty in the White House. There's never going to be an independent Baptist, fundamental Baptist, as the president. No matter how hard you want it, no matter how much you try. You know why? Because even the most liberal independent fundamental Baptist is going to do way better than the presidents that we have now. Honestly. I will never be allowed to sit in the White House and be a president. It's never going to happen. Why? Because everything that... I'm not going to compromise on things that would be just total evil. Abortion would be gone instantly. Roe versus Wade would be overturned. I would just have the Supreme Court killed or something. I don't know. I would just judge. I would judge the way it should be judged. But see, the U.S. government is not biblical Christianity. And the moment you start putting your mind there, then you're already off the path. You're straying from the path of God. So, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. So I was mentioning that so the people ask for a king here in this chapter. Look what it says in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel." So this is a mistake on Samuel's part, obviously, putting his sons who are not obviously very good sons. Look, it says, "Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second was Abiah, and they were judges of Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. So these guys were not good judges. They were not good rulers. But Samuel, this is kind of a nepotistic thing that Samuel does. It just puts his sons in there even though they're not good. It says, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Obviously, we don't live in Old Testament Israel. I understand that. But look, this was a physical nation of Israel and spiritual at the same time. But we live in a time where we are spiritual Israel.
Yes.
And so spiritually, who should be reigning over us? The Lord Jesus Christ is our king. God is our king. And when we reject him as our king and want to hold on to the people of this world at the same time, that's kind of what's going on here. Right? So it says, that they have rejected me. I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And it just basically says all the things that these kings are going to do. And, you know, they're going to take their children for servants and all this other stuff and tax them, and they're going to be rich. And, you know, and that's basically kind of what happens in this world today. So they wanted to be a king. They wanted to have a king that would judge them like the other nations of the world. So look, we're in a spiritual nation, and our king in our hearts should be God. Amen. The king that we serve should be the Lord. And all this other politics and all this other stuff should not even really be a factor in our lives. Because we ultimately don't have the choice. You have the illusion of choice. It's like, you know, have you ever seen that like cartoon that has like the cow choosing which place is going to go, to the right side or to the left? And then like both of them are like a place that where they get killed or something. You know, both places are a slaughterhouse or something. Or, you know, I saw this meme yesterday about the bird, they're both birds. If you choose the Republican or the Democrat, this bird is the political bird. You're still choosing a wing off the same bird, right? Democrat, Republican, you're just getting the illusion of choice. The devil's not going to leave it up to us. He's the God of this world. He's not going to leave it up to us. So if you think you have the choice of who the next king is going to be or president, you're wrong. You're not going to have that choice. They say this is a democracy, but it's not supposed to be a democracy. It's supposed to be a republic, a constitutional republic, and that has never been really followed. It's never really been followed. That's why everybody says, we're in a democracy, and they're trying to get rid of the electoral... The electoral college are trying to get rid of that again today. Because there's more Democrats than there are Republicans. It's 73% liberals in this country. And so if the Electoral College goes out the door, then the Democrats will win every single time. And then, so, I mean, do they promote more evil than the Republicans? Absolutely they do. But again, this is where the devil hoodwinks Christians, to us thinking, well, if we don't vote for the Republican Party, then all this evil is going to come upon us. But see, David had choices too, didn't he? David had the choice. He could have let there be famine for 3 years. You know, and that's kind of, you know, like voting for the Republican. It's just going to be a slow death, right? But the Democrats like having 3 months of our enemies, you know, destroying us, right, and chasing after us. And so you're like, well, that doesn't sound very good either. But what was his choice? To just let God deal with things. Let God fall into the hands of God. Because let me tell you something, this country is not a godly country. There's a lot of Christians in this country. I'm not saying there's not. There is. But why are they all so focused on who's going to be the next president instead of let's focus on our soul winning program. Let's focus on getting people into church and getting people saved and baptizing them and fulfilling the Great Commission, but they're more concerned about who the next president's going to be. It doesn't matter who it's going to be, because God is the one that sets up kingdoms. God is the one that's going to... Look, the Bible's going to come to pass, whether you like it or not. We're not amillennialists here, where we're just the better we get, the better Christianity is going to get. That's not true. We can make a difference in this world. We can go after the righteous remnant, but we're not going to change the book of Revelation, chapter number 13, where the Bible says that everybody's going to have to take the mark of the beast. There's going to be a one-world currency. There's going to be a one-world religion. And, you know, there's going to be one ruler. And he's going to be the Antichrist. That's going to happen. There's nothing you can... You can vote Republican, and he's probably going to end up being the Antichrist anyway. I honestly do kind of believe that it might be someone from the United States and becomes that person. So, I don't know. It's just my theory. I don't have any proof for that, but... You know, the Bible, well, the Bible says in Daniel, the people of the prince that shall come, you know, that's the end times rulers. Who are the people of the prince that shall come? Rome. Right? So we fall under, if we're Babylon USA, then think about that. Do some study on that. Anyway, look at where it's, verse 4 in 1 Samuel 8. It says, then the elders of Israel gathered together, themselves together, and came to Samuel and to Ramah. And I already read this, didn't I? Yeah, okay, sorry. Turn to Romans chapter 12. I preached about this on Thursday night, but I just want to remind you of this verse. Of course, I knew I was going to be preaching about this on Sunday, so Romans chapter 12, verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. The lesser. We got the choice of the lesser of two evils, right? Abhor that which is evil. Does it say vote for them? Or does it say abhor them? It says abhor them. Don't vote for them. Abhor them. Christians today are wanting this earthly kingdom, and that's why they're pushing the most vile people and choosing them as their leaders. They say they want God, but in reality they want Trump. That's what's really going on. And they think that this kingdom that we live in right now is the kingdom that we're supposed to be promoting. And no, the kingdom we're supposed to be promoting is God's kingdom.
Amen.
Turn to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 20. So think about this while you're filling out your voting pamphlet. Okay? Abhor that which is evil. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say vote for them. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. So who's the woe against? Someone that calls evil good and good evil. Is Trump good? Is he good? Is Biden good? So if you call them good, then what's the Bible say? Woe unto them. Woe. Woe unto them. And that put darkness for light and light for darkness. That's why you see these airbrushed, you know, things of Trump where he's like this. Have you ever seen the picture where Trump is like made out to be the savior that was sent to us from above or something? So weird. I realize not everybody feels that way. But all you have to do is drive around Vancouver a little bit today, and you're going to see these big jacked-up trucks with American flags hanging out of the end post of each truck and Trump stickers all over their trucks. America! They're calling evil good and good evil. They're putting light for darkness and darkness for light. They're putting bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Turn to John chapter 18, verse 33. John chapter 18, verse 33. What should be our mentality? What is it that we're supposed... What are we supposed to choose? Well, let's just let Jesus tell us what we should think. How about that? Because you know what? I fail to remember any chapter in the New Testament that says, don't forget to vote for Pilate. Don't forget to vote for Caesar. Don't forget to vote for your local senators. Otherwise, you know, this is going to stop you know, us being able to preach the gospel to people anymore. People have been preaching the gospel for over 2,000 years, and you know what? It's still going to go out. God's word's not bound. It's still going to go out whether we have Joe Biden as the president or whether we have Trump as the president. See, Trump just says a lot of things that make us feel good about things, but in reality, he's all bark and no bite. Nothing he says ever happens. Go back to church. What do the governors in the states do? Say, yeah, right, you're not going back to church.
Right.
They're the ones that are actually ruling, and Donald Trump could just say, hey, everybody can go back to church now. But that doesn't make it so. He can say, I'm going to overturn Roe versus Wade. Has he done it? You know, the same things he accuses Joe Biden of doing, why didn't you do it in the 4 years you've had a time to do it? Why haven't you done it? That's the same thing he said to Biden, didn't he? Well, how come you haven't done it in the last 47 years? Anyway, here in John chapter 18, look at verse 33, it says, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Now notice this. Pilate tells him his own nation. Was his nation the Jews? Well, I mean, physically, was he born? He was actually born into the Roman Empire. That's why when they did the census. But he's saying that his nation is the nation of the Jews, isn't he? Isn't Pilate saying that? It says, thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. What kingdom are you in this morning? Is your kingdom of this world? Look what Jesus said. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Look at that word now. But now my kingdom is not from hence. At the time he was there, he wasn't there to be the king. He wasn't there to be the king. He was there to be he's the king of the spiritual nation. He's the king of the kingdom of God. But at this time, he hadn't even died and been resurrected yet. But look at what Pilate says in verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. So is he a king? Absolutely. Is the kingdom of that kingdom at that time? No, he's not. He says, but now it's not. That I'm not the king yet. That I should bear witness unto the truth. Now listen to this. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Are you of the truth this morning? Or are you of the truth of Fox News? Are you of the truth of what this world has to present for you? Because a lot of people want to have a kingdom here on earth also. Just like the Jews wanted Jesus to be the king of them when he was giving them bread. But you know what these scriptures teach us? That if his kingdom was not of this world at that time, and he lived in the world at that time, who's our example? What kingdom are we supposed to be in right now? We live in a physical world, but this kingdom is not our kingdom. This kingdom that we live in right now is not our kingdom. Our kingdom is of heaven. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9. I'll have you turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. I'm going to read Hebrews 11, 9. Hebrews 11, 9 says, by faith, he's talking about Abraham, by faith he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He sojourned in the land. He sojourned in the land. He lived there, but it wasn't really his land, was it? This is a picture for us also. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham sojourned in this world and he lived among the Canaanites, but guess what? He was looking for a different city. The city with foundations and whose builder and maker is God. That's New Jerusalem. That's where we're really citizens of. We're citizens of heaven, okay? We just live in this world under a system that is not good. It's evil. Every world system that's on the planet right now is not good. That's why God's going to come and Jesus is going to destroy it. All right? Well, you're like, well, America is good in some ways. Yeah, God allows that to be the case for us, though. Do you understand that? God allows us to live in this system and to thrive in this system if we do what we're supposed to do. But see, unfortunately, the plague is upon us right now, isn't it?
Yep.
Isn't there a plague going on in the world right now? It's funny how that story kind of just fits right now. We're living in this country, and in the world, there's a big plague that's broken out right now. And what do we choose? Is Donald Trump going to take the coronavirus away from us by making us have forced vaccinations? Is Biden going to do the same thing? Well, Trump's going to, he's the one making making the vaccinations for you right now, and you're going to vote for him? Okay. Do you think he's not going to try to make it be a forced thing? I mean, maybe he will, maybe he won't. But, you know, honestly, I'm not worried about that. I already got the antibodies, so they can't test me. But anyway, we need to have a coronavirus party. Anyway, just kidding. All right, just kidding. So, look, this country is not really our country. Abraham lived in a strange country. He called it a strange country, and he sojourned in a land of promise. The promise is yet to come. Did he ever really get to see that fulfillment? Well, in heaven he did. And one day Abraham's going to live in that country, obviously. But at that time, he just sojourned and lived among people that really... It's just a picture to show us that even though we're saved and we're Christians and we live in a certain country, that really that country is not our real country. We're strangers and sojourners. And that's why God says to take care of the strangers, to take care of people that are sojourning in our country and not to treat them ill, because we were strangers in the land of Israel. That's what he said to the children of Israel, right? Here in 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. All these things that catch your fancy. Oh, look, a shiny thing. The shiny thing of politics, little squirrel. That, you know, people just go after things that just don't matter in this life. And they live their lives and they want to build their own kingdoms here on this earth. And to do that, you have to have, you know, the right person doing the right things with our money. And yeah, it's no surprise to me that they're saying the economy is like bounced back completely from the coronavirus and we're still going through the coronavirus stuff. I don't understand how that's possible when all these businesses can't even open up. But I don't know. Maybe I'm not seeing something clearly. But, you know, it's just... This is what they do. They want us to build our, you know, the devil wants us to build our own stuff when God wants us to build on his stuff.
Yeah.
God wants us to build on his foundations. And God wants us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Okay? He doesn't want us to go after the world and the things of the world and to promote the things of the world. Because isn't the United States a world system? So why would you promote that? I don't understand it. So John chapter 17, look what John chapter 17 verse 14 says. John chapter 17, verse number 14 says, I've given them thy word. You know, Jesus prayed for you in the Garden of Gethsemane, every single person in this room. Look what it says. I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. God doesn't want us to not be in the world. He just doesn't want us to be of the world. There's a big difference. He says, I don't want to take them out of the world. Why? Because we need to be in the world to be a light to the world, a light that shines in a dark place. Brother Sean was telling me yesterday that, you know, sometimes we think that soul winning's kind of bad here and all this stuff, but the light of the gospel shines brighter here because we're in darkness.
Right.
And so when we get 30 people saved, that's miraculous in this area. It really is. And we got a lot of cool stories to tell. I mean, Brother Blake just, you know, bumped into a guy holding a satanic Bible in his hand, and the guy let him give him some verses. Who knows what those verses can do to change that man's heart? Is everybody that carries a satanic Bible around a reprobate? Not necessarily. I mean, look at King Manasseh. He literally worshiped the devil, and he ended up getting saved. So a lot of times we throw the reprobate word around more than we should. I agree with that. You know, obviously, not everybody's a reprobate, but I think it's a fewer number than what people in churches like ours would think. But look what it says in verse 16 in John chapter 17. It says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." So you see where Jesus aligns us? He doesn't align us with the world. He says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." So we're supposed to be like Jesus is. We're not of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." We're supposed to be set apart from this world. We're supposed to be sanctified through his word. We're supposed to love the truth. And why is it that so many Christians are Fox News Baptists today? Because they don't love the truth. They've been hoodwinked. They've been tricked. They've been beguiled. They're taking up, you know, their emblem, the elephant picture, the picture of the Republican Party. You know, they never forget or whatever. I don't know. That's not the end sign that we should have. We sang about beneath the banner of the cross. That should be our real flag that we have, if you want to call a flag something. The banner of the cross is what we should really be under. The Lord Jesus Christ, you know, not a literal flag. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about figuratively, if you want to be under a flag, we need to be under the banner of the cross and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, look, God doesn't look at us like we're in the world. So don't act like you are. Don't try to make your kingdom and build your kingdom here on this earth. Build your kingdom in heaven. That's what we're supposed to be doing, right? When I played Tetris a few times, and I'm wicked for playing video games, right? How is Tetris evil? Just tell me that. It makes you think, no. Sharpens your reflexes. But when we do Tetris challenges, every once in a while we'll play Tetris. And when we play, my wife, I always say, "I'm building the kingdom, and it's going to end up making me get destroyed," right? So you try to build up these walls in Tetris to, like, where you can just put that last straight bar in there, and it, like, gets you, like, a whole bunch of lines, right? And then it drops everything back down. But if you build your kingdom in Tetris, then everything starts stacking up against you and destroys you, right? It's kind of the same thing in this world. You start building your kingdom in this world, and look, God's not going to let you get away with that. He says you're not supposed to be of this world. Why are you acting like you are then? Where are you going to take all this wealth? You can't take it with you. Naked you came out of your mother's womb, naked thither shall you return. So stop trying to build your kingdom here. And by choosing your president, you're trying to build a kingdom that God's not part of. God's not part of that kingdom. The only way he's a part of it is the fact that he sets up kings and also deposes them. So my desire in the flesh, like I said, would be for Trump to win, for him to get 4 more years, and that the world keeps hating him and keeping the fags away from our door. That's what I think that'd be cool. The sods that would come or would be few in number, and we could laugh at them and mock them and make fun of them just like I did last time. So Clinton is president, that whole thing goes down differently. If Biden is president next year, that will go down differently. Because they're going to be done fighting him, and they're going to be pushing their agenda. And their agenda is destroy Christianity, right? But I think the slow bleed is what the Republicans do to Christianity. The slow, they still do the same things. They make deals with the Democrats. And you know what? 4 more years of Trump mocking and getting these sound bites of Trump just making fun of people, it's funny. It's actually entertainment to me. But that's my flesh. That's what my flesh would want. But what does God want? That's what's really important, isn't it? Turn to Psalm chapter 75, verse 6. I'm almost done. Psalm 75, verse 6 says, for promotion, I'm going to just start reading. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Does that say that we do it or God does it? God does it. Turn to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. You're like, Pastor Thompson, I can't believe that you're preaching about this. You know, we didn't come here to hear about politics. I'm not really preaching about politics, so if you really think about it, I'm not preaching about politics. I'm preaching about where our choices should be, how we should think, all right? Proverbs 21, verse 1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Does it say we turn it? We turn the presidents whithersoever we will? Or does God do it? The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turneth it. Not we turneth it. And speaking of Samuel, earlier, Samuel, did the people choose King Saul? Or did God choose King Saul? God chose King Saul. The people wanted a king, but God's like, all right, that's fine, but I'm going to pick him. So God, you know, the people didn't vote. Well, he's head and shoulders, and he looks tough. And he's humble in his own sight, and he's hiding among the stuff. Let's pick him. No, God picked him. And then who picked David? God picked David. Samuel went, and he's like, surely it's this guy. Nope, it's not that guy. No, this has got to be the Lord's anointed. Nope, it's not him. I've rejected him. Who was it? The ruddy little guy that was keeping the sheep. God chose him. I don't believe that we're supposed to try to choose. This is new. It used to be kings that would rule, and the people didn't pick. What does the Bible teach, that people pick who the leaders are, or that God picks who the leaders are? Okay, so why are we trying to do the opposite? It doesn't make sense. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. So instead of getting common sense about how, instead of using common sense to choose things like Thomas Paine would teach, common sense, why don't we choose God's sense? Why don't we choose what the Bible says to do? Turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. I got three more scriptures and we're done. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Let's use some biblical sense and quit trying to like put Trump into our box. Oh, he's Christian. No, he's not. Remember what he said he does? Eats a little cracker, drinks a little juice. Is that what gets you saved? I eat a little cracker, drink a little juice, He's never asked for forgiveness from God. He admitted that. So, he's not saved. I think it's weird when people say he's saved. It's like, what Bible are you reading? Anyway, Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not to thine understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Who do you want to direct your paths? God. Not Biden, not Trump, not Hillary Clinton, not all these heroes of Fox News, your favorite Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck. I know Rush Limbaugh's not on Fox News, but or Michael Savage, the Christ-rejecting Jew. You want to listen to all this garbage? Why don't you listen to what God says?
Amen.
Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, it's on your Bible cover, it's on your bulletin cover. It says, and he changeth the times and the seasons, he removeth kings and setteth up kings. Who does it? God. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Is that you today? Are you listening, or are you just so mad because you want to go home and drape yourself in the American flag and take a nap? I can't believe Pastor, this is... Show me on the flag where Pastor Thompson hurt your feelings this morning. Show me on the flag. Stupid. Proverbs chapter 29. Let's finish right there. Proverbs chapter 29. Verse number 12, it says, if a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. So if Biden's wicked and he gets elected, are all of his servants going to be wicked? Yes. What about me? As a ruler of this church, what if I say, I'm going to hearken unto the lies of Donald Trump, and I'm going to vote for him? And then you guys still follow me off that cliff? What is that saying about us? What's that saying about you? Saying that you're following, you're hearkening after lies. As Christians, we shouldn't be hearkening unto the lies that this world is telling us into a false left-right paradigm. It might sound cool. Yeah, I voted for Trump. I'm so cool. What did you do? You voted for evil. You voted for the lesser of two evils. That's what you did. And you got to live with that for the rest of your life, knowing that you chose somebody that God thinks is wicked because you want to build our kingdom here. That's not how you build the kingdom of God. It's not by voting for Trump. It's not by voting for Biden. You have choices on voting day. You have a decision to choose the lesser of two evils this week, don't you? But there is a third choice. The third choice is what? Abstain. Abstain. And choosing the lesser evil, but the one that your conscience can actually live with. Can you live with your conscience after you vote for a wicked person? I mean, if you can, then, you know, whatever. But my choice is to abstain. And again, I'm not going to come over to your house and I'm not going to burn your mailbox because I know you're voting for Trump or something, okay? But you do have actual choices on voting day, Trump or Biden. Or the third choice, which is to abstain, right? And then fall into the hands of God and let this country fall into the hands of God where it belongs. Because you know what? America leads the world in sodomy, in all these different, you know, what do you call it? When traffickers, drug use, abortion, pornography, and they spread this filth all throughout the world. And you think God is okay with that? And you voting for that system? Look, we live in this world. Let's not be of the world. Let's fall into God's hands and let him make the decision on how America goes instead of how we think it should go. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the Bible. And Lord, it's obvious where you stand on these issues. It's obvious that you are our king. Lord, I pray just, Lord, that you would break through to some of these people that are just misguided on the fact that they think that they can change how this country goes by voting for somebody that, in reality, they're just a wicked person, they're an evil person, and us choosing evil is not something that's in your will. And Lord, I just pray, even if someone has voted for Trump already in this room, or just anybody under the sound of my voice, that Lord, they would realize that what your word says is different than what their heart's telling them. And I pray that you bless our soul winning this afternoon, Lord, and the men's preaching night tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.